And now it's time for A Wealth of Wisdom.
Michael Poynton on stage at the Paris Studio in London's West End, introducing the man who's made the world laugh for 40 years. Ladies and gentlemen, Norman Wisdom.
Well, it's great to have you here, Norman.
Well, thank you very much, Michael.
And they're dying to hear your story.
I was born in very sorry circumstances. Both of my parents were very sorry. I was born in London, went to school in Sheffield. I used to be dead tired when I got home at night. I can't say really and truly that I enjoyed school, although in a way I was lucky, I suppose, because I used to be my teacher's pet. She couldn't afford a dog. And then, what?
Now, of course, you're famous above all for the films you did. A lot of them are classics today. So, what was your favourite out of those?
Really, it must be Trouble in Store because, I got a British Film Academy Award for it.
Tell you what, Norman, before we get to that one, tell us about the one that didn't get made.
Oh, well, normally, of course, they do a film test. But because the rank organisation knew that ABC were after me, they signed me on a 7-year contract and then did the film test with a lovely little lady called Petula Clark at that time. And she'd grown up, of course, but, I mean, she was small by comparison to me. And... But I'll never forget it because they gave me a line. This is a test for a comedian, mind you. I had to say to Petula Clark, "Your eyes are as light as gossamer." And that's supposed to be comedy, and I thought, and that's the way I was directed. And when they saw the film test, they paid me out for the first film and didn't do it. And I don't blame them. It was terrible. And of course, they'd sign me on for 7 years. 7 year, one film each year. When it came to the second film, they said, "Well, we're not paying him up. Keep on doing that. Let's get somebody to write the script. We must do a film and try it." So they got Jill Craigie, who's Michael Foot's wife, and she wrote Trouble in Store, or the rough story of it, you see. And then she stepped out of it and somebody else finished the script and I didn't know where I was. And this was my first film and I went there all shaking to start with.
Yes.
And then when the film was over, they didn't know whether it was going to be successful or not. They just looked at the screen with a wide mouth. And we did. We then went and did a sneak preview at the Odeon, Camden Town. And I remember so well, in the foyer of the Odeon, Camden Town, on the sneak preview, all the big noises came in, you know, the John Davis and the director this and the Howard Vern, all the chats come in. And as they pass like this, they say, "Oh, good evening. How do you do?" "Oh, yes, that's it, mm-hmm." And they saw the film, and I went in and watched the film, and I honestly couldn't watch the film. I was watching the audience's faces, hoping that they'd laugh.
And lucky me, they did. And after the film, they come out like this. "Norman, oh, you won!" Oh dear, you learn as it goes on. If I ever write an autobiography, I'm going to call it The Bull of Show Business.
I'd like to play you a scene in which you make problems for that immaculate straight man, Jerry Desmond.
Oh, God.
Remember?
Lovely fellow, yes.
You're laughing about in the store manager's office.
All right.
Of course, you don't realise that he is the manager.
Hello? Of course this is Barrage's.
Is it Barrage?
The order for 5,000 linen dresses? Yeah. All brown? 5,000 of them?
Don't want brown, do we?
Dirty colour. Make them pink, eh? 5,000, all pink. That's it. Yeah. Oh, and thank you too. I'd like to see the chief's face when 5,000 pink dresses turn up.
Do you know who I am? Huh? I am Augustus Freeman.
Oh, I'm Norman Stockton. I'm going to get promoted. Going to be a window dresser. Chief sent for me.
I am the new chief.
You get your promotion quicker than I do, don't you?
Sergeant. Freeman speaking.
What are you going to do?
You've just had an order for 5,000 linen dresses pink.
That's it, go on.
Cancel them.
Here, that order for the dresses. Yeah, it's on again. Yeah. Order.
Cancel those dresses, Freeman speaking.
Put the order on again, yeah, make it.
Will you please cancel those 5,000 dresses pink? Freeman speaking.
Make it 10,000.
Please come in.
Oh, no, don't start again.
Miss Rue, tell this person who I am.
You're the new chief.
Chief? New chief?
Yes, Norman. The new chief of Barrages, a store which no longer requires your services.
And I got paid for it too.
Great. Lovely scene there with you and Jerry Desmond. Norman, we're coming back to films in later programs. I'd like now to switch to stage musicals. Which was your favorite?
My favorite musical? My Fair Lady.
No, the one you were in.
Oh, well, because I've seen a lot of them. I thought that, yes. Oh, the one I was. Well, I did, let's see, I did Where's Charlie? Which is a musical version of Charlie's Aunt.
Where's Charlie? There were some lovely songs in there.
Oh, yes.
You enjoyed that show, did you?
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh, of course I enjoy any part of it, in any case. But some beautiful melodies in that Where's Charlie? Once in love with... well, then.
Oh, once in love with Amy. Then you're always in love with Amy. Ever and ever. Fascinated by her, sets your heart afire to stay. Once you're kissed by Amy, you can tear up your list. It's Amy. Ply her with bonbons, poetry and flowers, moon a million hours away. You might be quite the fickle-hearted rover, so carefree and bold, who loves a girl and later thinks it over, then just quits cold. But once in love with Amy, always in love with Amy, ever and ever sweetly you'll romance her. The trouble is the answer will be that Amy'd rather stay in love with me. Amy'd rather stay in love with me.
Now, Where's Charlie? How did the critics react to that show?
Oh, fine.
Yeah?
I had a very good notice, a critic from Harold Hobson, who at that time was the critic of the Sunday Times.
Yes.
Which, of course, is a very important paper, as you probably know. And, but I must tell you, when we were rehearsing, there was a sort of a press thing, you know, blokes came in, and Harold Hobson came in and saw me in the hallway. And he said, Mr. Wisdom, because you do understand that this is... the part that you're playing is that of an Oxford undergraduate, aren't you? And so I said to him, why? What do you mean, then? He said, well, it's an Oxford undergraduate, and, you know, you hardly had the sort of education that would enable you to play that sort of part. And I said, oh, I see what you're talking about. Oh, I see, only because I said, what you mean you're, like, worried about, like, you know, like me being able to speak the words and all that proper. So, and he says, well, yes, that's the sort of idea. And he said, it is an Oxford Anecdote, and it's a whole play about this Oxford Anecdote. And I said, oh, don't worry about that. I said, we've got 3 weeks to rehearse, ain't we? And I said, by the time the end of that comes, I said, I'll be in and out with the dialogue and you and everything. You'll think I've been educated. And he walked away. I'm not, his mouth was wide enough. He was all dribbling down the corridor. Couldn't believe it.
Wonderful.
Anyway, we did the opening night, and there was a sort of a party backstage, as is customary, and Harold Hobson passed me in the hallway afterwards, and he just turned his nose up and as he passed and said, very funny.
Lovely. Well, Norman, we can only
He's
go through...
He's retired now, by the way.
We've only got time for the highlights in this first show, Norman, and I want to get onto your own songwriting. You wrote so many songs, and the one most of us know best, of course, is Don't Laugh at Me, because I'm a Fool. How did you write that?
And I was doing the film Trouble in Store, and we were in front of... You remember that scene in the front of the lake with Lana Morris, mm-hmm. where I'm feeding the ducks? And Paddy Carstairs said to me as we broke from that scene, he said, oh, Norman, he said, I wish we had a song, because he'd heard me singing on the stage, you see. And he said, I wish we had a song to put into that spot because it's so perfect. And I said, well, put a song in. He said, yes, but I haven't got one. I said, well, I'll write one. And I never forget, it was such a thrill, because when you write a song, there's a certain amount of ego and pride that comes in, isn't it? You know, you don't think of the money, well, not at first. And then... as I came into the recording studio, Phil said to me, and the music had all been put out, he said, Norman, you wrote this. I said, yes. He said, would you like to conduct it? And I said, oh, Phil, really? And so he gave me the baton. And I conducted. Da da dee dee da da dee dee da bum bum bum. I'm not good looking. Oh, what a thrill. I believe I had tears in my eyes because it's so lovely.
Well, Norman, let's hear that very song now, shall
Can we?
Why not?
All right, then. Thank you.
Don't laugh at me, 'cause I'm a fool. I know it's true. Yes, I'm a fool. No one seems to care. I'd give the world to share my life with someone who really loves me. I see them all falling in love. Up above. Someday, maybe, my star will shine on me. Don't laugh at me, 'cause
Well, Norman, that's all we've got time for this week. Will you come back next week and talk about your early days?
Well, these are my early days. What are you talking about?
Even earlier, I mean. We've done the highlights, you see.
Honestly, I can come back next week.
Love to have you.
Oh, you try to stop me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Norman Wilson.
Norman Wisdom has been dispensing a wealth of wisdom in conversation with Michael Poynton, who also researched the program. A Wealth of Wisdom is produced by Edward Taylor.
And next week's episode of A Wealth of Wisdom, at the same time, 9:45, is headed The Fastest Errand Boy in Deal.